As we come to look at this passage, let's pray for God's power and help to help us understand it and think about it. Father, we thank you that you give us your Spirit as you dwell among in us. Help us by the power of your Spirit to hear what you're saying, and help me by the power of the Spirit to speak your truth. Amen. Well, last week I put up our service and said that we're looking at the question, what is love? And someone sort of responded jokingly on Facebook, baby don't hurt me, baby don't hurt me, referring to a fairly recent song that's been out. And you might ask a similar question, saying, I want to know what love is. And of course, that might remind you of another song by Foreigner from the 1980s, a great rock ballad. But actually, there's a line that comes before that, which says, change this lonely life. I want to know what love is. I want you to show me. And I guess for many people today, there is a sense of loneliness. And for many people, like many pop songs, they're looking for the solution to that loneliness in romantic love. They think that that will solve the problem. They want to be shown what love is by a romantic partner. And of course, romantic love is about finding one other person who really desires to be with you and that you really desire to be with. And that can be wonderful and great when it works out well. But of course, sometimes we talk about a love triangle, and that's when someone else gets involved. And when it's involved, when this is in terms of romantic love, it is, of course, a disaster. And yet romantic love can lead on to family love. When a couple have a child, there's someone else in the relationship. It's not a love triangle. Both parents love the child, and the child loves the parents. And if another child comes along, then that child will also love the parents. And as siblings, as brothers or sisters, they will love each other. You end up with a triangle of love that represents family love. And this is perhaps closer to the kind of love that we're called to live out as church people, as Christians, and the sort of love that John is talking about in his letter here. Because Christian love is that sense of God. God is our Father. He loves us. He loves me. And I'm also meant to love other Christians. It creates a triangle of love. And so John begins this part of his letter by saying, dear friends, or actually more literally, beloved, let us love one another. Love is crucial to what it means to be a Christian. Now, John writes his letter to actually deal with a particular situation. We're not sure of all the details of the situation, but you can read between the lines of a letter to see some of the things that were going on. And particularly if you look back at chapter 2, verses 18 and following, John talks about people he calls antichrists. A bit of a strong word, you might feel. But what was he saying about these antichrists? Well, these are people that used to belong to the church in some sense, but have left the church. In chapter 2, verse 19, it says, they went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. It's one of the things about being antichrist is they no longer care for the community of believers. But he also goes on to say in verse 22 of chapter 2, who is a liar? It is whoever denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a person is the antichrist. Not only are they no longer part of the community, but they also deny some of the great truths about the Christian faith, and particularly about who Jesus is and what Jesus has come to do. And you might think, well, what's this got to do with God's triangle of love? Well, it's got everything to do with it. Because John sees that in denying the truth about God, they're denying something about God's love for us. And in breaking away from the community of believers, they're breaking away from the love we're called to have for one another. Their attitude is damaging the triangle of love, and John is worried that their attitude will rub off on the Christians that are still in the church and lead them astray as well. And so John writes this letter to encourage and strengthen the triangle of love and help us to see why it's so important and why it matters so much. And there's two things I want to draw out of this passage. Firstly, that love comes from God. And secondly, why we are to love one another. And both these points help to strengthen this idea that we are called to be involved in this, in God's triangle of love. To know God's love for us and to love him in return and to love our other Christians who also love God and are loved by God. So let's look at that first question. True love is from God. And perhaps all of this is summed up in that very short statement in verse 8 and verse 16. God, it says, is love. Now, it's quite hard to get your head around. What does this really mean? It's not saying that we should worship love as though love is God, that actually God is not a person. He's just a sort of idea of love. No, the way to think about it is to think about similar ways we use that phrase. So if I was to ask you, what is yellow? You might say, well, a banana is yellow. If I was to ask you, what is cold? You might say, well, ice is cold. If I was to ask you, what is fast? You might say, well, a train is fast. Do you see how these different items, their key characteristics demonstrate to us what those characteristics are like? So if we want to know what yellow is, we look at a banana and we see what yellow is. If we want to know what cold is, we touch ice and we feel what cold is. And if we want to know what going fast is like, we get in a train and we travel fast. These things help us to see, to touch, to experience these qualities. And when John says God is love, he's saying, well, do you want to know what love is? Look at God. Touch God. Experience God. And how do we do that? Well, John takes us from these abstracted ideas that God is love and brings us back to the cross of Christ. The cross, he says, shows us love. Verse 9 says, this is how God showed us love among us. He sent his one and only Son. What do we learn about God's love, about true love from the cross? Well, we learn, first of all, that love is self-giving. It says in verse 9 and 10, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son. God didn't just give us something. God didn't just tell us something. God didn't just show us something. He came himself in the person of Jesus Christ. He was God made flesh. He lived among us. And he died for us. This is self-giving love. It's sacrificial love. It's costly love. It's not holding back. It's almost writing a blank check to say that whatever you need, I'll provide that for you. This is the kind of love that God is talking about. And so often our understandings or our human ideas of love fall so much short of this true divine sense of love. Love is self-giving. But secondly, love is also life-giving. We see that in verse 9. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. Jesus died and rose from the dead that we could have eternal life, that we could have a life to its full, life in relationship with God, life as part of God's love triangle, life that is eternal, that never ends. And you see, as Christians, we're not called in love to give ourselves just for the whims or the desires of other people. No, we're not called for those things. Actually, people may demand things from you that is not loving to give them. But love is looking to help people live a true life, a full life. So to love someone will be to give food to the hungry. To love someone will be to provide shelter for the homeless. To love someone is to provide comfort for the grieving. To love someone is to provide friendship to the lonely. These are all aspects of what it is to love God, to provide life for other people. And of course, as Christians, we're called also to share the good news about Jesus Christ, that other people can come to believe in him, can become part of his family, become part of his triangle of love, and know that eternal life that only Jesus can give. Actually sharing the good news, telling people about Jesus, gives them life if they believe. Love is life-giving. And thirdly, love is forgiving. Jesus says, it says in verse 10, was sent as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Many people find forgiveness really hard. You may well have been really hurt by someone in the past. They may have done horrible things to you. And you feel that you can't just overlook those things. You feel that you can't dismiss those things because those things really matter. Those things really hurt. And you feel that someone should pay for what's happened. And you see, God, when he sees sin in the world, he doesn't just say, that doesn't matter. Don't worry about it. No, sin destroys love. Sin destroys people. Sin destroys our relationship with God. It matters truly. And in sending Jesus to die on the cross, God is saying, actually, this sin does matter. This sin needs to be paid for. This sin needs to be condemned. But rather than condemning me for my sin, rather than punishing you for your sin, God sent Jesus to die on the cross, that in his death, sin would be condemned, that in his death, the punishment would be paid. And God can say, yes, sin needs to be condemned, but when you're in Christ, there is no longer any condemnation. We are forgiven completely. And so as Christians, when it comes to other people that have hurt us, we're not meant to say that that hurt doesn't matter. It does. But costly though it is, we're to forgive them. Not because they deserve it, not because they've done anything to make them worth forgiveness, but because of what God has done for us and the price God has paid for us to be forgiven, we must also pay the price for others to be forgiven. It's only when you really see what God's love really looks like in the cross that we're able to love as God loves and to forgive others fully. The cross shows us God's love. And because the cross shows us God's love, and because we're told that God is love, then what we believe about God, what we believe about the cross, what we believe about Jesus actually matters. And so John says, look, you can only really be a Christian if you believe the truths about Jesus, if you trust in these truths. In verse 14 and 15, he says, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. And if anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. To be a Christian is to truly believe believe in the love that God has shown us, and particularly the love of the cross. But if we deny those things, and we don't accept those things, then we're not Christians. And we don't know God's love. True love is from God. And so do you see that to be a church is far more than just being a community? Being a Christian is more than just joining a church. It may be that you enjoy being part of a church. It may be you enjoy the community, that it does give you a sense of taking you away from your loneliness. It gives you friendships. It gives you support or fellowship, and that's a wonderful thing, but you're not really believing or trusting in God. If that's the case, then actually you're damaging the triangle of love. That connection between me and God is broken. And you're missing out big time. You're missing out on what God longs to give you, true forgiveness, true life. Now, actually, churches are far more than just lovely places to meet and be a community together. And they only become the kind of community they need to be. They only show the kind of love that they need to show when we're truly in touch with what God has done for us. When we truly know that God first loved us, as it says in verse 20. When we truly understand God's love, only then can we truly live out that love and be the community he calls us to be. Don't just go to church looking for community. Great though that is. Go to church looking for God. Because God is love. But the flip side is also true. See, many people think that you don't need to go to church to be a Christian, that you could be trusting God and ignore church. But that just won't do. Because if you're truly a Christian, then you'll want to love your brothers and sisters that are Christians. And you can only do that if you meet with them in a community like a church. So why should we love other Christians? Why should we love other believers? Well, there's three things that John points out for us here. Or three things I want to pull out, at least. Firstly, because we're children of God. Do you see that in verse 7? He says, everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. We're born of God if you're a Christian. And if you're born of God, then you'll be like God. And if God is love, if one of the key characteristics of God is that he is love, then surely one of our key characteristics will be to love others as well. John says, let us love one another, for love comes from God. And he goes on to say, look, in verse 8, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. If we're not loving our brothers and sisters in Christ, if we're not meeting with them and joining with them and caring for them and supporting them, then are we really a child of God? Love shows that we are God's family. But secondly, love surely is the right response to the cross of Christ. In verse 11, having talked about the cross, John says, dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. If Jesus came and died for us, if he gave that self-giving sacrifice for us, if he gave that life-giving sacrifice for us, if he gave that forgiving action to us, then surely we should do the same for others. We may say that we trust in the cross of Christ, but if our life does not demonstrate it in the love we have for other Christians, then are we truly, really believing that? Are our actions denying our words? And thirdly, because actually, when we love others, it brings completion. You see, Jesus died on the cross to show God's love to us, to me, but also to create that love that becomes the community of believers, the family of the church. And it's only when we love one another that God's love sent through the cross flows out and completes itself. It completes the community that's being formed. If we fail to love other Christians, then we're failing to complete that triangle of love. We're failing to fulfill God's vision. We're failing to live up to our calling. This becomes clear in verse 12. It says, no one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete or perfected in us. You see the vision? When actually we learn to love one another as a community, God's plan is fulfilled. And more than that, although we can't really see God, as people come and see the Christian community, as they see the love people have for one another, then that will back up the words we preach, that God loves us. And they'll be drawn to become part of that triangle of love as well. But no matter how well we preach, if our community is not a community of love, then are we ever going to welcome new people in? Aren't we just going to undermine our message? Why love others? because we're children of God, because of the cross of Christ, because we want to complete God's love. And you see, this does show us that being a Christian is more than just a personal relationship with God. Some people say, look, I don't need to go to church. I can commune with God in the garden or in the countryside on a forest walk. Or other people may be tempted at this point, having watched services online for many months because they haven't been able to come to church because of the restrictions. The temptation may be to say, well, that's great. I'll just carry on doing church in that way. But actually, if we fail to return to church when we can, and we hope the restrictions are lifted in June, if we say that we don't need to go to church to be a Christian, then we're denying that need to love other Christians. You can't love someone if you never meet them. You can't be part of a loving community if you never turn up at that community. No, being a Christian is far more than a personal relationship with God. When we come into a personal relationship with God, we become a child of God, but that means we also end up with brothers and sisters in Christ. And we're called to love them. Being a Christian is far more than a personal relationship with God. So are you someone who understands the triangle of love that God creates because God is love? Are you someone who wants to see that triangle of love strengthened? Are you truly a Christian? Are you someone who wants to complete the triangle of love? Are you someone who wants to respond to the cross of Christ? Are you someone who sees yourself as a child of God? And do you want to love others by giving yourself to them? By giving them life and by forgiving them? You see, when we create these kind of communities, we're inviting people away from loneliness. Not into a romantic relationship which may or may not fulfill their expectations, but into a triangle of love where they're part of a community of love but also have a connection with the God of love who will give them eternal life. What a better way to change this lonely life? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for its truth. Help us to rejoice in these words and to respond with our lives, that we as a church may be your community of love. Amen.